You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 380, and we've got a couple topics today. Number one, are you concerned with where the defense is at? And number two, will a three-man rotation at running back work at Notre Dame? So we're going to talk about those two topics, as well as talking about different position groups at Notre Dame and how things are going so far this spring. We've got some recruiting news, and I guess we'll probably start maybe with Randall. You had some excitement the past 7 days, right?
Yes. The reason we didn't have a podcast last week, we had another future Irish Sports Talk podcaster to the family. My second son was born last Monday, so just before the time that we'd normally be podcasting. So as you can tell, I did not try to podcast that afternoon.
And I'm glad you texted me first and said, hey, it's not going to work because your child was being born. And I'm glad you did, because I was running late with some work that I was working on, and it would have been kind of close or kind of tight for me to be able to make that too. So it definitely worked out for me as well.
Hey, my son already has good timing, so.
All right, so let's get started then. Let's get the injuries out of the way. There was another injury that happened. C.J. Holmes had a separated shoulder and will almost definitely be out for the remainder of spring. And I guess since we talked last, Elijah Taylor, this happened more than a week ago, but Elijah Taylor suffered a Lisfranc, or he will be requiring a Lisfranc surgery. And he will probably be back in July. So some more bad news on the Notre Dame defensive line. Daniel Cage, who was injured, is back, but he is out of shape. And I hope that the sooner he can get healthy.
Those two guys were.
Yeah, the sooner he can get healthy and back to shape, the better for Notre Dame.
The bad thing about Elijah Taylor is that it sounds like somebody stepped on his leg during one of the practices. So one of those fluke injuries that could definitely hurt a position that has a lot of questions. Because he was taking some reps with the first team. I mean, it's hard to tell what those reps mean as far as first, second, third team at this point of the spring practice. But he definitely had a chance to compete for quite a bit of playing time this year, and this will set him back quite a bit. We saw him at the end of the last year. He was doing very well. Was it the last game of the year against USC when he actually had a pretty good game? Came in for a couple plays and made a difference on those couple plays. And so it was exciting to see that he was had potential there. Well, now this is a huge setback for him. So now we need Scott Pagano to join the team even more than we did.
Do you know any more about that? Has he set a date when he will make a decision?
No, I haven't heard anything lately. I mean, it's about now that he's taking some of those other visits, this week, maybe next week, but I haven't checked up on that lately. I think he's taking his time. I mean, basically like Malik Zaire. I mean, they're obviously not there for the spring, so take your time and make the right decision.
And I guess just throw this in there as well. Malik Zaire, who was it down to North Carolina and Wisconsin? Were those the
Florida is still rumored to be in it as well.
Okay. Well, LSU's quarterback is transferring to North Carolina.
Yeah, Brandon Harris transferred to North Carolina. So that basically eliminates North Carolina from getting Malik Zaire, which means that we won't get to see Malik Zaire against Notre Dame next year, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And we were talking about this a little bit in the forums. And I would have liked, as far as just watching, it had been fun to play against Malik. Have Notre Dame play against Malik. However, I'm sure
he would have had the game of his life.
He would have had a Heisman type game, and definitely would have had a pretty good performance, I'm pretty sure. So I'm disappointed to not be able to see it, but in the same instance, it might be better for the Irish.
Well, that's where I thought he would end up, but obviously he's not going to now.
Well,
now I would say that he's going to end up at Wisconsin.
I mean, he could still go there. I mean, Wisconsin also has a returning quarterback.
Yeah,
but
he'd be an idiot to try to do that.
Is Brandon Harris, is he that great of a quarterback?
Well, he has experience. I'm just saying he's already had to. Well, I guess even going to Wisconsin, he's going to have competition because their starting quarterback is there.
Everett Golson went to Florida State, and I mean, it looked like almost definitely going to be set there.
What I don't like, Malik Zaire should have tried to enroll first spring at a school, wherever he's going to. He should have made this decision a long time ago, so he was at the school for the spring practices, because I think it's that much harder for a quarterback to go in.
Is that possible to do?
He could do it.
Okay. I don't know why you wouldn't, because you can definitely start learning.
Working out with other coaches. I mean, obviously with other football guys, but it would have helped him by trying to enroll for the spring semester and being able to play. But right now I'd say it's Wisconsin. Florida's still in the mix, but Wisconsin, he can go in and he has to compete for the job because they do have their starter, but people say he's better, quite a bit better than what their current starter is, and so he could win the job, but he would have to compete for it, which means not being there for spring definitely hurts his chances.
All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about the defense, but let's start with the offense. Starting with the quarterback, Brian Wimbush did spend some time with George Whitfield, and Brian Kelly was asked about it at the press conference, and he talked more about it than I thought I would have thought. He went off for a few minutes talking about.
I'm sure he gets a lot of questions about this because it's his quarterback working out with other guys.
I know, but every quarterback does it, including the guys that have been on his team.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying, I'm sure a lot of media, he gets a lot of questions from the media about Brandon Wimbush working out with George Whitfield. Will that hurt him?
I'm just surprised. Former Norman quarterbacks have worked with Whitfield as well. I'm just surprised he didn't just say.
Wimbush worked with him last year, too.
Did he?
Last summer.
I'm just surprised Brian Kelly didn't just say, yeah, it's great. We want him to fine tune some of his fundamentals or whatever. I'm just surprised he didn't just give a non-answer and say, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Some of his other interviews, he basically said that he doesn't think it makes a difference. It basically keeps the quarterbacks
out of trouble and
in shape. They're throwing the ball. They're in football mode while they're on vacation, basically. And so he likes that. It's not like they change anything that drastic. It just keeps them warmed up, I guess you could say, for spring football and even the fall. It just, you don't want to sit there doing nothing.
Brandon Wimbush is going to be the starter at Notre Dame, but he did say that he wants to earn that starting job, which I'm glad to see. He doesn't want it just handed to him. He wants to feel this fall when
he's saying the things he's supposed to say.
He is. He's doing a good job at it, too.
He's probably coached to say that.
And he looked good. He had a press conference, and he also did an interview with Jack Nolan, and he looked good in both of those.
And it looks like he's bigger than he was last year. He's even a little bit taller.
According to him.
Well, I think he is listed. I'll go back and check, but I think he is listed is a little bit taller than he was last year.
Can we credit that also to the new strength and conditioning program?
Well, for sure. You've never seen their stretching so that they can grow. No, just kidding. They have to lay on their beds with a brick in their hands, like their arm hanging over the edge of the bed with a brick in their hand. That's how they stretch their arms. So.
All right, let's talk about wide receivers. A lot of young guys, EQ, the returning veteran, for lack of a better term. And it does seem like Stefferson, he's not running with the first team a whole lot. And I know Brian Kelly said when he was asked about this originally that they're just trying to get some other guys some experience there because Stefferson was there all of last year. Now, some in the media aren't buying that. They say that he's in the doghouse and not completely sure why.
Well, it would still stem from the probably from last fall.
Well, why wasn't he in the doghouse all of last season?
I don't know.
Definitely something to be concerned about, but not something to keep in the back of your mind, not something I'm really worrying about a whole lot. Maybe the worst case scenario is that maybe he's in the doghouse because maybe his grades are a little bit of a factor. Maybe he won't be available this fall. But again, I'm not really that worried about it. Just something to keep in the back of your head. Chris Fink is continuing to outplay CJ Sanders, which is a surprise. And I don't understand why, because CJ Sanders is the athlete. Fink is a walk-on, and I mean, he looked pretty good last year, did a great job at the end of the season, and he continues to, so far, I mean, he's probably going to be the primary. If they have a smaller slot, he's going to be that guy.
Well, it's, if you stop and think about it, you know, we say, oh, it's surprising because he was a walk-on, which is true, but that just goes to show you what a bad job the...
The former coaching staff?
No, the recruiting...
Oh.
The
recruiting services?
The ratings. The guys that rate these players. You know, he probably didn't have a good rating, so he didn't pop up on a lot of teams' radar as a guy, hey, this is a guy we should watch. And I don't know. I haven't really seen his high school that much of his high school film. I'm just saying, yeah, it's a surprise because he was a walk-on, but the surprise is that he wasn't ranked higher when he came in. I mean, that's basically how you can look at it. It's not like he's become that great overnight. He just wasn't as hyped coming in as some of these other guys.
One more thing on EQ. He did say he's not cross-training. He's at the W all the time, at least so far. And he even said that there are still some plays that he didn't that he didn't know or that he's learning. So besides EQ, Sanders, Fink, any thoughts on Claypool, some of the other guys, Randall?
Well, if you watch the one-on-one drills with, you know, the receivers and tight ends against the defensive backs, the tackling, which obviously the guys catching the ball have the advantage in those situations, the one-on-one. But Chase Claypool is very elusive, and he's a big guy. So he did tweet something out about he wants to be that guy that people say, oh, he shouldn't be able to make those moves because of his size. Basically what he was saying, not those exact words, but that's basically what he was saying, and he seems to be doing that. He was getting by players almost untouched, and so I think this next year he's going to be heavily involved in the passing game. And let's just stop the talk about him moving to defense, because he's good as a wide receiver, so let's keep him at wide receiver.
And then for the tight ends, Brian Kelly seems to be pretty happy with the tight ends. And besides running backs, and I know there's a lot of talent on the offensive line, but there's quite a bit of talent at the tight ends group. And I know we haven't seen production the last few years, but we do get Alizé back. We've got Brock Wright, freshman in there. And Durham and Wisher both seem to be making some progress. Brian Kelly just said that, you know, they've got four or five guys who they feel pretty comfortable with. And he did say that there are certain areas of the field where Alizé is just not coverable. And one thing another thing that he said that I'd love to hear is that he is committed to blocking. So,
yeah.
Ever since Alizé was a high school commit to Notre Dame, I've been saying that, I mean, and everyone has, this guy is a difference maker. And Alizé, as long as he keeps on working hard, stays out of trouble.
He did say he needs some scolding from Chip Long sometimes.
He did say that. But I just am excited to see what they're going to do with Alizé Jones. And hopefully he has the kind of year where he can head off to the NFL.
Yeah, and Brian Kelly also mentioned Nick Wisher as a guy that's really improved, and that they have a place for him in the offense. It's not trying... They're not trying to... Chip Long isn't putting him into the offense. He kind of has a role for him, and it'll definitely help him. He'll be more productive in the situation that they put him in. And he did mention four tight ends as the pass catchers. You know, obviously, Alizé, Smythe, Wisher, and then the freshman.
Brock Wright.
Luatu was not part of that, but he is
But
he is the blocker.
I noticed that too.
But he is blocker, and I expect to see quite a bit of these tight ends. Definitely more production from these tight ends than we did last year.
Well, one other thing I had wanted to mention with Wimbush in the interview he did with Jack Nolan is just that he was asked, you know, what's something you need to work on? And he said pocket presence, and he gave the example of he might drop. He's dropping back too far into McGlinchey or whoever his tackles are.
He has to know where the pocket is.
Yeah. Which I'm sure a lot of that is just learning from doing it. And so he'll get better with experience. Hopefully he can get a lot of experience in this spring and this fall so that we won't have too many of those problems during the season then. And, okay, running backs. And so here's the question. We've got some solid running backs here. We got returning starter Josh Adams, Dexter Williams, who last year Brian Kelly said is the only guy that is playing with fire or intensity. And then we've got redshirt freshman Tony Jones Jr., who's also getting a lot of praise as a runner, but also as a pass catcher. And so Denson said that there is no starter and that these guys are pushing each other. And so it sounds like, it looks like all three of these guys have a legitimate shot, a legitimate reason, or they've earned playing time. Yeah. So do you think a three-man rotation can work at running back at Notre Dame?
Well, it's almost like we forget so quickly how we went from multiple running backs to how we wanted one running back being the main guy, and now we're back to having multiple running backs. I remember the conversation was it before last year. We were like, we should have one main guy.
Okay.
Let him run the ball, you know, for a series instead of every two series switching out for another running back and them never being able to get into the groove of the game or the drive.
And I do remember I was on the other side of this argument. I was saying for running backs, I don't think it matters as much. Maybe if you're taking them out every two plays, maybe then. But if you let a guy run for this series and then maybe bring in a different back when you get to the goal line. But if you have three guys pretty much getting equal carries, I don't see a problem with that. I don't think running backs do need to get in as much of a rhythm. And I know there's talk about, well, wearing down the defense. Well, they're getting worn down, whether it's Josh Adams running, you know, 90% of the runs in the first half and then the defense running down in the second half, or if they're splitting up carries 50-50 or 40-40-20, whatever it is. So I don't buy into that as much, that you need to have one primary back. I think it definitely can work with having three different backs. But if there is one back that's better, then give him the majority of the carries.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they say it's an open competition, but Josh Adams is going to be the first guy out in the field.
Yeah.
But as far as wearing down the defense, these guys are all big, and I like to see that because you'll definitely wear down the defense a lot quicker with these big backs than you would the smaller backs. These are, well, even Josh Adams at 6'2", you know, tall guy. I mean, these are big running backs, and that's what Alabama uses all the time. And Notre Dame needs to do that as well. As far as the running game, Brian Kelly mentioned that they were always pushed for time, you know, getting guys back to class and stuff, so they didn't get all their reps in at the end of practice that they needed to. So they started doing the 11-on-11 first or earlier in practice, so they get all those reps in, and then they go to 7-on-7. And so he was like, yeah, we'll be able to run the ball very well. But he was like, we won't be able to throw very good, but we'll be able to run the ball. And he kind of laughed. And that's like, that's what we all want to hear. Or basically, you can run the ball very well. But
so do you agree? Can a three-man rotation work?
Yeah, but will it be used? I mean, even last year, you know, we heard all the praise for Dexter Williams, but we hardly saw him.
I know.
But with this new, you know, with Chip Long being there, maybe it will happen. And from what it looks like, all three of these guys are so good that you'll have to play them. I don't know. Josh Adams is still ahead of them, but I don't think there's a drastic drop-off when you bring in the other guys. I want to see what – I'm excited to see what Tony Jones can do in a game. And we won't know till this fall, but – I think he can make a big impact.
And then on the O-line, Okay, so still there's a competition over in that right tackle, like there has been between Eichenberger.
I don't know why Kelly keeps talking and keeps saying that.
In the his last press conference.
No, he's done the last couple.
Has he?
He always says Eichenberger.
Well, Eichenberg and Tommy Kramer, and probably, I don't know, the different guys were getting more reps, or they were kind of switching off as far as getting first-team reps.
Well, the other thing that factored into that is that Hunter Bivin could compete for that as well, but Brian Kelly said they asked him to kind of take a back seat right now because he's had a lot of reps in practice, and so right now they're just trying to get these young guys reps that these older guys don't necessarily need. But as they get further into practice, Hunter Bivin will start competing more. Right now they're just trying to get them reps.
And he also said that he will be the Mark Harrell for us.
He'll probably... I'm not saying that I see Hunter Bivin as a starter at right tackle, but he will definitely be playing. He'll be that the next guy in.
And he also will get more reps this week, actually.
Yeah. And you have the young guys, too. I mean, they have Robert Hainsey, and Brian Kelly mentioned him as a big surprise, how impressive he's been, and that, you know, he's competing for reps. It's very unlikely that he'll get any reps this year. I mean, things would have to go drastically wrong for him to get reps just because he is a true freshman, but they are getting him reps as well, and he's taking advantage of it.
Okay, and then one final thing about the offense. Brian Kelly has been asked multiple times, is this your offense or is this Chip Long's offense? And he always says, this is my offense. And then he even gave the example in last week's press conference that they might change things like verbiage. And I forget the exact, I think he said something like 52-25 or
52-53.
Something like that. Some kind of, I think it was some kind of a protection. And then instead of that, we might call it something else. And it was a word. And then Chip Long was asked, you know, how is this your offense or is this Brian Kelly's offense? And then he said that they'll adapt some of the terminology that Brian Kelly has, but in the details, he said it's about 50-50. But in the details, you know, there's a lot of differences. I just find it kind of funny, and I don't think that Brian Kelly is misunderstanding at all what Chip Long is bringing or implementing. I just think that he seems to very much be playing it down.
Well, how he stated it is that he brought in Chip Long, who's going to have a phenomenal year, and then he's going to get hired to head coaching job at the end of the season. And when the next offensive coordinator comes in, they're not going to be teaching him Chip Long's offense. They're going to be teaching him Brian Kelly's offense. I think the big difference is Brian Kelly hired Chip Long because their offense is close to the same thing. It's not a drastic change. So, yeah, it's very close. When you look at the whole scheme, it's close. But when you get into the fine details, yes, there are some drastic differences.
But I thought it was funny that they both said that the difference, Brian Kelly said that the difference is terminology.
Yeah.
And that's what Chip Long said, that the similarities are. That he's changing some of his terminology to match what Brian Kelly had. But I'm excited about Chip Long and the new offense. And
He's very confident. So
he is. All right, let's talk about defense then. The defense is definitely behind the offense, as you would expect, because they were behind the offense the last 3 years. So this isn't a surprise to me. And my question is this, Randall. Are you concerned where the defense is at? And do you think that they can be good enough this fall? With where they're at right now, can they be good enough this fall?
My concern with the defense is they don't have a pass rusher or like that. They don't have some of that personnel that they need. It's not necessarily I'm not as worried about them understanding the defense or, you know, getting the schemes and everything. I'm just more worried about not having a true pass rusher or, you know, a safety with the experience, which I guess that could kind of be, you know, picking up on the defense. But I think they'll catch on. I think they'll do good with the guys they have.
I'm with you, too. I know that they're behind, but I think I'm pretty optimistic because the reason they're – well, one reason they're behind is because they're working on fundamentals. They were remember True. How awful they were through the first four games probably in tackling. It was awful. And they're working on that in spring. Brian Clay said that he thought practices had been too soft, so they're being more physical in practice, doing more tackling. And like you mentioned, in the – one-on-one tackling drills, and I know it is set up for the offensive player, clearly. However, it was worse than what I would have expected to see, and including some total whiffs. And that's going to happen, but it happened more than I expected.
Yeah, and they're tackling guys. They're not running past them. They're actually tackling guys. Brian Kelly wanted the running backs to get tackled, wanted them to get hit. But then they're also working on stripping the ball, knocking down the ball, like the defensive linemen batting down passes, and I don't think they would have really done that before. Like they, you know, wanted the quarterback to succeed, but now they're working on those small things, and I think that in itself is going to make a huge difference as far as turnovers, because you can't not practice that and then go out and expect a player to strip the ball. That's one gripe I've always had with Notre Dame. Like, you don't see the players trying to strip the ball from, like, when you watch Alabama and Clemson, like, they're grabbing at the football, and they almost have, what was it, Alabama? I forget the one game where they almost held the guy while the other guy ripped it out. I mean, you know they practice that, and they're doing that at Notre Dame now, and just with tackling, getting turnovers, I think it's going to make a huge difference.
And you can't have a good defense, no matter how great the scheme is. You can't have a good defense unless you tackle well and are able to find the football if you're a defensive back, or get in the face or knock down the pass from the quarterback at the defensive line. So this is kind of some training wheels that need to be put on the defensive bicycle before we'll have a defense that will be really good. But you can't be good defense without doing some of these things. So even if Notre Dame isn't forcing a whole lot of turnovers or getting after the quarterback from the get-go this season, as long as they're tackling well and minimizing big plays, I think this can be a good enough defense. Depending on how good the offense is, this can be a good enough defense for where our offense is at. I'm not saying playoff caliber, but I think this can at least be a defense that is on a level playing field with where the offense is, which it hasn't been the last several years. But
even this last year, you saw some games where the defense held their own and the offense didn't take advantage of it.
Sometimes, but vast majority of the time it was the other way.
I agree, but they both have to be firing on all cylinders.
Okay, and Brian Kelly also mentioned that, you know, they're teaching a lot of these fundamentals in their groups as well, like containment or teaching them to not leave their feet. And Elko did also say, well, a lot of this stuff, a lot of fundamentals is also muscle memory, like proper tackling or using your hands or whatever. A lot of that is just doing it. And so a lot of this spring has been focused on that. And I love that Elko preaches it's not about scheme, which isn't totally true, but he preaches that it is about doing things the right way. It is about fundamentals.
Yeah. And for muscle memory, they say you have to do something 10,000 times for it to be muscle memory. So they need to keep right on doing things over and over and over.
Okay, so let's just go through some of the different position groups then. They'll start in the back end. Safeties. It's not good right now. But again, I'm not too worried about it because we do still have majority of spring. We've got all of fall. But yeah, they need to start making some improvements there and finding two guys who are going to be their starters, whether that's Drew Tranquil and someone else or two other guys.
Yeah, well, Drew Tranquil is back there. I mean, Brian Kelly talked about keeping him at safety just because of his experience. He's a veteran guy back there. instead of having him at the rover position, which I've said before, I don't like that. I want the best 11 guys on the field. So, yeah, maybe the freshmen are going to make some mistakes, but if they're better at safety, then, you know, and Tranquil's a better rover, then move him up there. But I do feel a little more confident with Bilal being at the rover. I mean, it seems he's doing a good job at that, so maybe they can keep him back there. Like, I don't want to worry about depth as much. Like, yeah, you can have the best depth in the country, but if you're, you know, just saving those guys so that you have depth and losing games because it's not, it doesn't matter.
And I think we'll see Drew Tranquil move around quite a bit. But although Elko did say that he doesn't like cross-training players, if possible, he doesn't want to, but out of necessity, he will. Drew Tranquil is one of those guys where it probably is a necessity, at least looking at where the defense is right now at the safety position. And so probably, unless someone emerges at safety to replace Drew Tranquil, for lack of a better term, we'll probably see him move around quite a bit based on matchup, maybe even based on down and distance. He did say Drew Tranquil is up a little bit in weight. He's up from 225 to 230, but he said his body fat is lower than it was, and he feels stronger and quicker than he ever has before. But he did admit the one thing he needs to work on is being able to turn and run. And I love his personality. I think he's a great kid, smart, but his coverage skills, I'm not sure if it's something that can really be fixed. I mean, I think there's just some limitations that are going to be there as far as how fast you are.
Yeah, and some of the other guys, Nick Coleman is doing a good job since his move to safety. And, just kind of have to wait and see how that all plays out. But it seems like they have their groups, like they're doing that. You know, Studstill's out there, Elliot's out there with him. They're kind of doing, just so that they're able to communicate better and work together.
All right, and then at cornerback, Nick Watkins has definitely reset himself as a guy who's going to get some playing time. Everything that I saw sounded like he looked really good out there. Strong,
even after being off
big
last year.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been a while since he's been able to play football.
He was asked in an interview. He was, I think he was asked, yeah, who some of the leaders are at cornerback with Cole Luke's now is gone now, and he said that the coaches have leaned on him with the cornerbacks and Tranquil at safety. So even though, yeah, he hasn't played a whole lot of football, he is one of the older guys, and it sounds like there's a couple of good corners for sure. I mean, Vaughn, Julian Love, not sure where Sean Crawford, how he's coming along, but there is talent there.
Then you still have Troy Pride. The cornerback, 2 years ago we were fussing about no depth, but they did get the depth, and it's looking pretty good right now.
All right, and then at linebacker. So feel pretty good with three guys, pretty much, three or four guys, Morgan at center, or at Mike, and Tavon Coney and Greer Martini, and then, like you mentioned, Bilal, too, looking pretty good at that rover position. I don't really have anything to really discuss on the linebackers.
I mean, Niles Morgan is looking good. I mean, he's down in weight and looks quicker and is looking better, even better than he did, which he already looked good. So,
all right, defensive line. Brian Kelly just mentioned Dalen Hayes. He's a crazy athletic. He's in that drop-in position. And one, Elston was asked about Jerry Tillery. And there's definitely good news coming out about Jerry Tillery as far as being engaged. And Elston did say they're really pushing him. They're working him really hard. And he is paying attention to detail. And the guy, the defensive line as a whole, they're watching Wake Forest film. And I think the desire is there. And I know there's not a lot of proven commodities there, but definitely if Scott Pagano would join the Irish, I'd feel a whole lot better. But I still feel like with the bodies they have there, someone is going to emerge, or enough guys will emerge. I think they'll at least be as good as they are most years, I mean, we haven't had great defensive line play except for a position here or a position there the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why. I don't think our expectations should really be that high. And I think we'll pretty much – I think when it's all said and done this fall, if anything, it'll be – we'll be a better defensive line than we were the last couple of years.
Yeah, but you the biggest question is because you don't have – like even last year you had Jerron Jones –
I know, but he had one good game. And Isaac Rochelle, there was a lot of...
He was a solid player that you didn't need to worry about.
You're right. He was very solid, but he wasn't a major... I mean, he did well against the run. He did.
I think he's a game changer.
Yeah. I think there is
potential.
I think guys will emerge that are going to be solid and are going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I think Dalen Hayes has a chance. He could be a difference maker.
Yeah, his biggest thing now is just learning some of the minute stuff because, you know, he was off his senior year. He didn't play that much football in high school. I mean, you know, he's still learning a lot of small details, but he is taking first team reps right now. They're trying to get him those reps to get him that. You know, get him that playing time because Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, he's going to be a big time player for him.
And if Notre Dame would get Scott Pagano, I do think this defensive line is better than last year's. And so if we're just one player away from being better than last year, then
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sure, it's not great, but it's kind of the par.
Yeah.
And Tillery. So again, I'm pretty optimistic that at least Tillery is engaged and. He might have to play a lot of snaps. Hopefully he can survive that. And hopefully Cage can continue to get stronger and stay healthy.
And Trumbetti, I mean, there's quite a few names there. It's just...
I don't have a whole lot of faith in Trumbetti. I mean, he's over at the strong side defensive position now.
Yeah.
Defensive end.
But, the biggest thing is we'll just have to wait and see how these guys fit into the new defense.
Yeah.
Did it kind of give them more motivation? You know, you still got Mikeadu Treadway and Brandon Tiasem. I mean, obviously Elijah Taylor was a big part of this and looked like he was going to have a lot of reps, but then you lose him for the spring. And, Jay Hayes, Khalid Kareem. And there's a lot of names there. There's a lot of bodies, and we just need guys to step up and be that difference maker.
All right. That's all I've got. If you guys want to talk a little Notre Dame football, head on over to the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. It is free to sign up, and you can submit a topic, comment, whatever you'd like. Randall, anything from you?
Yeah, quick mention, the recruit. Notre Dame picked up another commitment this weekend, or yesterday on Sunday. Offensive lineman John Dirksen. He's an offensive tackle from Ohio. 6'5", 305, four-star. And he had visited this weekend. He was at Notre Dame this weekend. But really, most of his film, if you go watch his highlights, it's film from his sophomore year. And so they don't even have film from his junior year. So his ratings could go even higher if there'd be more film out there. I don't know. He obviously has another year. This guy is a big-time pickup for Notre Dame. Kind of quiet. It seems like media guys don't get a lot of calls back from him, or he doesn't talk a whole lot. He'd just rather stay off the radar, which means, you know, that he might not show up in a bunch of camps that, you know, more vocal guys would. But it was, he was on campus this weekend, and there were other guys there, like Josh Lugg was there, guys that'll show up this summer as freshmen. Then they had the other commits there. Cole Mabry was there. Then the other had a couple prospects there, some other offensive linemen that they're going after. So there was quite a few linemen there. They also had Zach Martin, Nick Martin there. I don't know if you got a chance to talk to them or not, but they were helping in practice, and so I'm sure you saw that. And when you have a Zach Martin, who's an all-pro offensive lineman for the Cowboys, that's... You don't have to say much with that. Just have him show up, basically. But he's commitment number 12 for Notre Dame. And they're, you know, it looks like they want to pick up another guy. Ryan Hayes was there, and Nicholas Petit Ferrer, that's how I'll say it, was
there. They want to pick up one more offensive lineman.
If they get one of these guys right now, the best chance may be Petit Ferrer. I don't know. I mean, just kind of looking at it. If they would, you know, pick up a guy like him, then that would be, you know, if they'd have three of them, that'd be good for this cycle. And usually Harry Heistin gets his offensive lineman early, so we'll see how they progress from here. But then there's also a couple defensive linemen at Notre Dame. Jamian Franklin and John Wagner, two guys that Notre Dame is recruiting heavily. But yeah, it also helped. I don't know if it helped with these guys, but they had quite a few former players there this weekend with Pro Day. Jonas Gray was there. Darius Fleming. Chase Hounshell was back. Amir Carlisle. And these guys were out there for Pro Day. I don't know how much they were out for practice, but, you know, with recruits, seeing these NFL players there is definitely a good thing. And then also as far as Pro Day, I will mention Marquise Stepp, the running back commit, said that he tweeted, I could walk into the end zone with him blocking for me. So he's very excited about having Dirksen there. And yeah. He would probably be excited about any recruit that Notre Dame gets. So I don't know how much that means, but he does a lot of recruiting. Pro Day, you know, Kaiser. I was thinking Malik Zaire. I was like, Kaiser. He looked a lot better than he did on
You've already forgotten his name.
We're moving on. He looked a lot better, and he was throwing to Corey Robinson. He helped out just to help catch passes from Kaiser. He was throwing to guys that he didn't throw to last year. Jonas Gray caught a pass from him, Chase Hounshell, and Corey Robinson, and then Terrion Folston would have been the only guy that caught a pass from him last year. So, you know, people were a little bit worried about how his timing would be with these guys, but he did great. There was quite a few NFL reps there. I think they tweeted, Birch tweeted out that 54 NFL reps were there, 57 media members. So there was quite a bit of, there's quite an audience there, let's put it that way. But then the other guys, I guess the most impressive thing was some of the timing for like,
Folston
in the shuttle, not his 40 time. He's kind of slow in his 40 time. Which, I mean,
I would have expected, and
it is kind of what we expected, but, you know, he didn't.
What was his 40 time?
I don't have it right in front of me, but some of his other stats, like
the shuffle,
some of his other things were right there with some of the top running backs that were at the combine. So impressive for him. Let's see. Darius Fleming, I guess, is trying to make a comeback, wants to be a long snapper. And so he was trying to make a comeback there. I don't know about these other guys, Jonas Gray and Amir Carlisle. Is that what they're trying to do as well? Let's see. James Anawalu, another guy that did very impressive. He had 24 reps in the bench press, 225 pounds. And a 36
James Anawalu.
Yes, and a 36-inch vertical.
Hold it.
And there was, I think that there was no linebacker at the combine with both of those being that high.
Hold it.
So I think he helped his rankings, you could say.
Do you know what was his 40 time?
Let me bring up the list. I had it here.
And while you're doing that, I'll just mention again, if you guys want to talk some Notre Dame football, head on over to forums.irishsportstalk.net. It is free to sign up, and so you can join the conversations that we're having over there.
I'm trying to find out too many other things on here.
And if you guys we'll be at the Blue and Gold game. Solon is going to be joining us as well. That's on April 22nd. And so, yeah, if you want to meet up at either there at the stadium, just send us a tweet. Be cool to meet someone if you're interested.
The 40 times you want Folston 4.75 and 4.8. And then James Onuwalu, 4.8, 4.73. Avery Sebastian, not a very speedy guy, 4.96 and 4.89. You mentioned that you were under 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I actually never timed my 40.
Yeah, I did. I think I do forget kind of. I'm thinking it was about a 4.88, 4.9, but I think I could usually get under 4.9.
Okay. I should have done it because I was a sprinter, so.
Well, and I was never really that fast. I enjoyed playing basketball.
Yeah,
I was never a speedster.
So. Chase Hounshell was there. He had a 5.05 and a 5.01. You know, he was, I don't know if he was at Ohio State's pro day as well or not, but he came back to Notre Dame.
I don't think you could compete in two.
I don't know how that would work.
But speaking of Chase Honschel, Irish Sports Daily, Matt Freeman wrote a really interesting article, and it's from, he interviewed Chase Honschel and talked about the differences between being at Ohio State, being at Notre Dame. He talked about things like the scouting reports that the players get on the different teams, talked about the strength and conditioning program, talked about several different things in the differences or similarities between Notre Dame and Ohio State. Really interesting, and you can probably find it, and it was a free article if you're not subscribed. So if you just search for probably Chase Hounshell, Ohio State, Notre Dame, or go on their site and do a search, you should be able to find it, but a very interesting read.
The other stat I have for Folston, his three-cone time was 6.93, which would have been tied for fourth with running backs at the combine. And then his short shuttle would have been 4.31, which that would have been seventh among running backs. So pretty impressive showing from him.
All right. I don't have anything else. Randall, you got anything?
Lou Holtz feels like he's a little bit of a traitor. He's going to be a coach at the Ohio State spring game. But, no, he has ties to Ohio State as well. So I guess we won't blame him too much. But he should be coming to Notre Dame. He's been tied with Ohio State quite a bit the last while.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different pictures of him over there in Ohio State gear. And it's a little disconcerting. All right, that's all I've got. Thank you guys for listening. Check back next week. We'll have another podcast. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.